Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, you're a nickel too much on defense for me. In 2025, I can't allow you to play a safe defense and still have success. They're nickel, it feels like, every single snap. And in the era of tight ends, look at who's using nickel. Now, Seattle's a little bit of a different animal because they've got a 230-pound nickel, right? So New England's using a nickel, five defensive backs, the third most in the NFL. In 2025, when it's the year of tight ends and smash mouth football and playing under center, if I'm Indy and I don't run it at you 40 times, shame on me. If I'm Buffalo and I don't run it at you 40 times, shame on me. The Chargers and the way that they use their tight ends, Baltimore, if they get in. So as great as the New England story has been, if New England consistently thinks that they're going to be allowed to line up and play nickel defense in a win or go home game against some teams in the AFC that can and will play smash mouth, multiple tight ends, fullback on the field football, it'll be an early exit if they get into the playoffs.
If they get there. What is he talking about? They make the playoffs, first of all, is wild. And then to say the team that is the best in the league against the run plays nickel too much and they don't have a chance against these other teams? I don't get it.
I don't really get it either.
First of all, even in nickel, you have a bunch of good run stuffers out there. Now, hopefully Milton Williams returns after he's on IR and he's able to regain his form. He's a part of the equation, but he has been all season. He and Barmore are great. After a couple of down games, Robert Spillane's turned his season around. So you have a bunch of guys that can play the run. Plus, Marcus Jones, despite being a smaller guy, is a good tackler. And, yeah, I would assume the Colts, when they play anybody, should hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor 30 times in a playoff game. That might be the only way they can win. But the Patriots have been really good against the run this year. And then for him to say, it's the year of smash mouth football, disagree with. It's the year of the tight end, disagree with. And they won't be able to stop the run because they play nickel too much if they make the playoffs. I don't agree with anything that he just said.
So, like, Denver. Who's the tight end on Denver? Evan Ingram? Like, he's going to light him up because they play a tight end? Yeah,
he's
thumbs
been
up
horrible
back there
all year.
Yeah, okay.
And he stinks.
Like, Warren on Indy's really good. I'll give you that one. Like, Pittsburgh has, like, 15 different tight ends that they play. I like Darnell Washington. He's a one-time Hoss of the Week.
No, in the AFC, I would say it's Brock Bowers, who you won't face again.
Yeah, don't worry about him.
Travis Kelce is still decent.
That one counts.
And Tyler Warren's good. So, Colts and Chiefs. Chiefs right now aren't a playoff team.
You don't count the Ravens guys?
Oh, I... Yeah.
Andrews had a nice trickeration touchdown last week.
I know, and he can. Oh yeah, he did the tush push run. But I don't know. Like, he really was bad in the playoffs last year with his drops or anything else. I think he's fine. Like, he's a starting tight end.
If you're up late at night and you're like, our fatal flaw is we might get exposed by some tight ends in the playoffs, and our nickel defense is going to do us in. It doesn't sound to me like you have a lot of problems. It would be my you know, too long didn't read interpretation of that.
Kelsey's not even in the playoffs right now. Right? Bowers won't make the playoffs.
The Steelers, Jones, when they played the Patriots, the Steelers tight ends had four catches for 29 yards.
Okay.
And that was Jonnu Smith had three and Freiermuth had one.
Jonnu Smith and Freiermuth.
Their leading receiver was Calvin Austin with 34
yards.
Dalton
Kincaid and Dawson Knox. Yeah. Like, that doesn't do it for me.
Here's a question for
Hunter Henry's just as good as any of those guys.
When does the year of the tight end end? Does it end at the end of the calendar year 2025, or does it run through the playoffs?
I think it's just 2025.
Okay,
I believe.
Okay, so that's good news for him as well. Right. If that's where it comes
so
to,
so it'll run out. But like, they can't stop the run now.
No,
just because they play too much nickel,
according to him. Now I will say
he also wouldn't play Drake May for 2 years. And he also might win the MVP in his second year.
Right.
So we'd miss out on
one MVP.
Yeah, right.
But then you'd watch the MVPs just fall from the sky after that.
Yeah, that's a tough go.
No, Reese actually has been a little critical of the run defense the last couple of weeks. He had like his picked up pieces today, but looking back at the Jets game, And he said they showed more cracks in the run game. He didn't call it a fatal flaw. Well, but they've showed more cracks in the run game against Tampa and the Jets the last couple of weeks.
Which, I would say against the Jets, the biggest issue was Justin Fields. And that's part of the running game. Like, he runs better than he throws. But a lot of it was, I feel like, I don't know if somebody missed what they were supposed to do, or they were just like, hey, let's just play man, and then guys turned their back and he was able to run. But you got to clean that up. And I'd be more worried about that. Like, if you draw Baltimore in the playoffs, all right, you better know. I mean, and I think you would, but he had the most rushing yards by any one individual player this year against the Patriots has been Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Who couldn't throw.
Now, look, there's a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the AFC. Herbert is running this year, although I'm less concerned about the Chargers based on their game against Jacksonville this weekend. And then also after the updated Jones and Keefe AFC playoff standings.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes will run in a big spot. Allen can run. Lamar can run. So if you're telling me a mobile quarterback can expose you, fine. But our big gripe, our big nitpick, the fatal flaw of the Patriots is their nickel defense. Like, that does not sound like they have a lot of problems to me.
True.
Now, Keith, we did this earlier. I'm not going to bore you with all the numbers.
Just know that there are a lot of numbers.
There's a lot of numbers and a lot of research that went into this. The official Jones and Keefe AFC playoff standings, we did this earlier. We assigned 3 points for a real win. Shorthand for that would be a victory against a team that's either in the playoffs or has a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
A fake win is every other win you have.
The bad teams. We get it.
A good loss, no penalty there. You get 0 points for that. A bad loss, a team with a losing record outside the playoffs, you get minus one. Okay? That's how we broke all that down. Reworking the AFC standings, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
The Jones and Keith AFC standings.
Yes.
Denver's still first.
Okay.
Pats are still second.
All right.
Colts are still third.
Huh.
Pittsburgh's still winning the North, so they're still fourth. Buffalo is still five. Jacksonville, still a playoff team, moves from 7 to 6.
Oh, it's movement.
Chargers are out. Houston is in. So here's the shorthand for that. Even if you assign extra points for what we would consider quality wins,
mm-hmm.
and even if you subtract for bad losses, and this is for the Cam Newtons of the world out there, the fool's gold people, even if you're giving extra credit for wins, 3 points for a quality win.
Uh-huh.
The standings don't change all that much at the end of the day.
That's it. Basically, through 11 weeks, you can take all the strength of schedule talk and shove it, because the league isn't great. It's a ton of parity. And so a lot of teams really only have two signature wins to kind of hang their hat on. Now, you can go to the NFC, which we didn't do, but like the Eagles have more quality wins, right?
They
they've beaten some good teams.
They would be... Yeah, they would run away from teams like
that. That really hasn't been the argument. The argument is more AFC, where the Patriots rank in the AFC, and how, that's like a fake 9-2. It isn't. And I'm not saying they didn't benefit from playing the Browns and the Jets and the Titans and the Saints. Like, that's great. But they also won their two toughest games, and not a lot of teams around there. In fact, no other teams can say, we have more better wins than the Patriots do.
Let's just keep it with Denver and the Pats for a second.
Yeah.
And maybe I can add Indianapolis if you want. But like Denver, and I, after doing this exercise, I would say Denver, if you're just evaluating what they've done, not what you think they can do, because I would give the Patriots the edge at quarterback, and I would think May is a big advantage in the playoffs over a guy like Knicks, even though Knicks has been clutch. Denver has no bad losses, right?
No.
Their losses are at Indy and at the Chargers.
I think one way to pick at the Broncos would be they won some games that were, like, wild. Like, we're criticizing the Celtics for the manner in which they beat the Nets last night, right? Like, you'll take the win, but was that really good? The Broncos they set the game of football back against the Giants and the Jets. And what was the other one?
The Jets and the Raiders, they set football back. The Giants were down the most anybody's been down in a fourth quarter to come back and win.
Oh, wow, comeback. But I'm just saying, like, even some, like, the style points, if you will. If you want to go to that level, they've had some head-scratching ones. But they are 9-2. They only have two, what you would say, really good wins. Same with the Patriots. So, like, they're the same. They're both 9-2. They're very similar.
Denver's wins are at Philly and home against KC. Patriots are at Buffalo and at Tampa. You want Denver's fake wins?
Yeah.
Sounds like the Patriots.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Cincinnati, the Jets, the Giants, Dallas, Houston, Vegas. And that's a little harsh on Houston, who's 500.
But we did the same to Carolina with the Patriots, right? That's another one we kind of lumped together.
Patriots fake wins. Miami, Carolina, which I agree, cancels out with Houston. New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, the Jets. Now, the Pats have what we would call a good loss against Pittsburgh. How they lost it was miserable, but Pittsburgh is winning their division, quality team. And then the Vegas loss. Denver has no loss like Vegas. But if you're going to look at the Patriots and call them fool's gold, you'd have to say the same thing about Denver. You'd really have to say the same thing, I think, about Indy, who's fattened up on a bunch of bad teams, too. They only have two good wins, Denver. and at the Chargers. They have no bad losses. So if you're telling me you think all those teams are fool's gold, well, then at least you're consistent. And maybe you believe in what teams like the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens have done in the past. And if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. But in terms of these teams at the top of the AFC, they're all kind of in the same boat.
They 100% are. And that's why I think when you look at the overall team success, you got to give them full credit. When you look at the MVP candidacy that Drake May has, you got to still give him full credit. Mike Vrabel, coach of the year stuff, you got to give him full credit. The overall wins and losses of some of their opponents is obviously pretty low, and it might be weighted. I brought this up earlier. Like, if you play a 2-8 team versus a 3-7 team, it's both a win that those good teams should have, and then but that changes the strength of schedule and like the quality wins and all that stuff. But yeah, I think they're doing just fine at 9-2 and what they have on their resume. Like, this is also when you kind of project forward a little bit. I don't know. I guess my main point would be their two toughest games they've won. They were both on the road, yep, and they won those games. If they were 9-2 and those were the two losses, then I think what people were saying
it'd
about
so
them would make
valid.
Way more sense than now.
You said this a bunch, but if you flip their two
Vegas
good wins
and Pittsburgh,
and you flip it with Vegas and Pittsburgh, I would understand the fool's gold comment.
But it isn't. Everybody else is pretty much in the same boat.
Well, maybe, and we'll listen in. They're going to ask Mike Vrabel about the updated Jones and Keefe AFC playoff standings.
Might. I think they could.
Here's Mike Vrabel.
Cole, what do you got? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
What are you seeing from T. Higgins and the rest of the
season? Well, I mean, again, talent, plenty of talent. It's just the opportunities probably haven't been there, but when they've been given the opportunity and they've gone to them, you know, whether that's Yoshi Voss, that's Tinsley down the field, obviously T, deep threat, you know, took a slant to the house against Pittsburgh, tight window, you know, split the safeties. You know, so I don't think that they lack in talent. I think it's just been opportunity. So again, we'll have to do a great job, you know, trying to defend them, whether that be Brown or Higgins or anybody else. It's just it's a big challenge offensively.
Mike, question from Karen for you.
Okay.
Colt, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Since you became a head coach, how, if at all, have you changed how you manage your individual relationships with players over the years?
I mean, again, my job is to have a relationship or a connection with everybody here, players and staff included. Some of those relationships are stronger than others. That's kind of the nature of this. But, you know, I think for me, it's just been having something in each room or part of the game plan in each phase that will at least allow me to have a conversation about the game plan, about their, you know, job or technique, you know, which is the best way, you know, to be able to have that connection through the week. You know, and then again, just try to be as genuine as I possibly can.
Mike, was that something that you needed, wanted, got when you were a player, and something you felt like was important to you?
I don't know if it was that needed. I mean, it was just kind of different. I think it was just different. And I haven't coached anybody any differently from the 3 years that I spent at Ohio State. Going to Houston, they were maybe a year or two older. And back then, they made more money. Now they're just a year or two older, and some of them make about the same amount of money. So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
appreciate where they all come from. I appreciate their backgrounds. You can see the type of people they are by when you meet their families. I think that's something that, you know, really shows in the pride that they have. And, we do this to provide for our family. So, you know, outside of winning, you know, let's be honest, like that's why we do this. So I enjoy meeting their families, and I enjoy meeting the people that they care about. And we always said things that are important to them should be important to us.
Mike, as a player, you were known sort of as an enforcer. And I know accountability is super important to you now. So as a coach, you know, how have you evolved in creating accountability?
I think my job, I've said this, is to try to protect the team and stay consistent and try to hold the best players the most accountable. That way it sets a clear message to everybody, throughout. Not, you know, if the quarterback makes a mistake or Drake makes a mistake, it doesn't really do me any good to sit there and coach up Tommy, you know, DeVito. Just go right to the source, and I think the players appreciate the consistency.
Like the stability of the offensive line and their performance this season seems like it's led to a lot of the team's success. Can you talk about what that group and the coaching staff and Doug Marrone has meant to the success?
Well, Doug, I mean, that's a good group in there. You know what I mean? Doug's in charge, but Jason Hotelling, Haas, and Neil Cougs, I think we're lucky. I think those guys really do a good job. Like I said, when I talked about the staff, they can all take a group and coach them and pre-practice, individual. So you see a lot of that is, you know, split up, and guys are getting work and reps, and so there's a lot of confidence there. I think the players are building some confidence. I think that, you know, the more that we get into this thing and they understand kind of the design of the play and kind of how Drake's going to operate, whether that's, you know, trying to climb the pocket or, you know, the extension and everything else, I think it all, you know, goes hand in hand. I think they communicate well, and, you know, the more that we've been able to be out there as a unit has led to, you know, some good results.
Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel here on WEEI.
You've had Travion kind of be that main back in the last few games. Do you have is there a plan kind of to have a better balance between the two of them when they're both ready to play, or when, you know, Ramondre's healthy?
I think we'll probably have to have that conversation, you know, when it's, you know, certain that we're going to have Ramondre. He's going to work through practice today, and, you know, we'll see where things go. Travion's helped us. Ramondre's helped us. Terrell's helped us. You know, disappointed that Dearness couldn't, you know, have a couple more carries. We gained some good yards on a whatever they thought was a holding penalty, and go from there. So we'll try to have them all help us. But it's been good to see Travion continue to run hard and take care of the football and everything else.
Mike, what's been your impression of Joe Flacco and just the way that Bengals offense has been playing?
Efficient, on time, a lot of, again, you're not going to trick them. You're not going to trick them. You're going to have to cover them, beat them, you know, rush them. The ball comes out quick. Doesn't seem to get rattled very easily. It's not something that's going to happen. You know, arm strength and accuracy has been great. You know, he kind of knows what he wants to do and where he wants to go with the ball. It's a lot of command.
Mike, he's also someone you saw as a player. I don't know. I know not all those memories are great, but what do you remember about a young Joe Flacco on the other sideline?
I mean, about the same. I mean, big, talented, strong, probably ran a little bit more. So just the longevity, a lot of respect for him as a person and as a player.
Mike, we'll get a chance to see them out in practice, theoretically, but you talked about Ramondre and his situation. Keyshawn and Christian as well. Is there any
update? Yep, they'll all work today, and we'll see, you know, how they respond after today and kind of keep moving from there. But no real update. They haven't done anything that, you know, we've pushed through other than that. So hopefully they're out there, and they will be, and ready to go, and then we'll see where they go.
The decision to send CJ to the active roster, was that similar to, like, the situation you kind of talked about earlier this week with Braden, where it's someone you put time in with and want to continue working with?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go involved with that. And, you know, certainly those two players were ones that kept showing up as the, you know, show team players, or whether it's on special teams or offense or defense. And so there's, you know, it's just kind of what happens when you get to this part in the season. And, you know, we'll see if those guys can help us. And we ask everybody to prepare as a starter when they come in here. And I don't think anything should change or will change for those guys.
Okay, let's cut it there.
Good stuff there, Coach.
Questions about the practice squad.
Still rocking the mustache for November.
Is.
Looking
yeah.
good.
Doing it all month long.
Oh, you better believe it.
That was the last question in there. Questions about the two practice squatters I guess people were interested in from other teams.
I guess kind of shows you how good the team is when, like, leading into a game. Or you think it's just a horrible question?
I don't know. Like, Braden Swenson, they cut.
Yeah.
So, like,
they drafted him, caught him.
Look at the roster development they've had. It's like they cut him. The whole league could have had him.
Yeah.
So, look, Baker's roster is pretty good. I wouldn't go to the other teams being interested in their practice squad guys. They're probably just all banged up and need bodies. That's
interesting that could have been maybe just coach speak, but he was asked about, hey, when Ramondre comes back, is he going to, like, divvy up the playing time? He's like, well, that's like a conversation we're going
to
have.
He said, we have to have that convo when it's certain we'll have Ramondre back.
Yeah.
He said both have helped us. Talked about Terrell Jennings and even Dearness Johnson in there.
Because I feel like a few weeks ago, the answer might have been, well, we went into the year with like a plan. Because remember, they originally had three, the Cerberus backfield everybody was talking about.
Yeah. I remember that.
Split carries with all three. That was sort of the plan. So rather than being like, well, yeah, like we'll work them back in, it's like, well, let's see how Henderson does again.
He said it's been good to see Travion run hard and take care of the football, which I thought was interesting.
Significant. Did have the one fumble, but yes.
He did.
Yeah.
The other one that jumped out to me was when he was asked about the O-line and Doug Marrone. He did do the pivot he always does when he's asked directly about Josh McDaniels.
Yep. Named a bunch of other guys.
He named the whole room.
It's a good room in there.
So, if you're asking me, I think he's gone out of his way to not give Josh McDaniels any credit this year.
Yep.
But if you think we've made too much of that, this would be an example you could highlight and say, well, you know, when he was asked about Doug Marrone, he brought up all the assistant line coaches and everybody in that room. Yep. So it's not just personal with Josh McDaniels. I don't necessarily believe that.
No.
But if you wanted to bring that up, you certainly could. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. You can also jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, got Hart. Yeah, got Fitzy. Yeah, got Ted. So stay tuned. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Some grab bag once told me Jones is kind of lonely. He's got the softest hands on the show. And Keith was looking kind of dumb with his finger and his thumb in the shape of a grab bag on his forehead.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.